Good morning. This is Cyril Stevens coming to you from Christmas Valley in Oregon, and I'm pleased to be able to present to you some more nuggets of truth about the gospel. The gospel being the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, I have an impediment, and I do apologize for my voice, but I can't get it straightened out, and I'm waiting to see how things will go from here. So I'm just waiting on the Lord to get this cured. I don't know what it is. Let me take you, please, into the Gospel of Luke, and let me share with you chapter 17 and verses 11 through 19, where Jesus has this wonderful dialogue with the man that's healed of leprosy. Now, you don't need me to go into all the spiritual details of this story, because I'm quite sure many of you have read it many times. But notice, leprosy was a mark of God's displeasure. And we read in verse 17, Jesus mildly rebuking and carefully choosing his words, said to the one man that went back to say thank you, he said, when Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but the 9? Where are they? Now, you may have been cleansed of sin many times before, but I ask you, do you go back and say, thank you, Lord? I ask this very simply and very directly, because I believe that it's absolutely necessary for every sinning Christian and every sinning non-Christian to come back to look at his life and have a good look and be satisfied that Jesus has cleansed him. Now say thank you. And the thanks, as we shall see in a few minutes, is in obedience. Notice, will you, that leprosy is the mark of God's displeasure in the scriptures, because a leper was shut out of society, and yet he was still in a community, and he had to be in a community with other lepers. Notice that there's a saying, birds of a feather all flock together. That happens with some diseases. And when a person has such a disease, he tends to mix amongst those who are equally as diseased as him, with the same diagnosis or the same things that are happening, so that everybody in that place where they meet can correspond with each other. I went through this, I went through that, and so on. Now, when you're shut out of society, it's very difficult to do that. And when you have your own community, you tend to be sort of ostracized because you're such an independent person. So these people met Jesus as he entered the town. Jesus was weary and unrefreshed, tired. Yet there they found him, and they found Jesus in an inconvenient time. There are many times in this parsonage when it's been most inconvenient to take people in, or it's been most inconvenient to spend time with them because we had other things going. Just a few days ago, I felt very badly, but a lady phoned me about a friend of mine who had died, and she wanted to tell me about him. But my ride to the church was just arriving, and I was having to leave, and I was late leaving, and so I was anxious to get going to the preach in Paisley, where I preach every other Sunday. This lady was ever so nice, but I had to cut her off, and afterwards I had several moments of misgiving. I think she was saying, "Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to meet this man who had died." So I chopped her off, and I didn't mean to, yet I had to, and I didn't give an explanation. I was in too much of a hurry. Sometimes we're just in too much of a hurry. And the nine that were cured, they were in too much of a hurry to get unto the priest and say, "Priest, look, look, we are the men who had leprosy, and we are the men now cured of leprosy. Look at this. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it spiritual? Isn't it remarkable? Isn't it so terrific that we are clean? Now we can mix in the society. Now we can go to the potluck dinners. Now we can hug one another. It doesn't have to be another leper." And so on. Now, the second thing I want to share with you is this. They stood afar off. We should be very humble as we approach the Lord Jesus. We have spiritual leprosy, and we need to stand afar off because our inability to repent has caused others not to repent. We need to be standing afar off. "Lord, Lord, have mercy on me." And now notice that these fellows, these 10 men, they came to Jesus with a request. And Jesus, who is infinitely pure, had to deal with this leprosy that was within their hearts as well as on their bodies. And so we find this, that their request was unanimous. In verse 13, we read this. They raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." This was a unanimous expression. They all said the same thing. They all had the same cry. They all had the same disposition and the same desperation. And they came to Jesus, and they came to him expecting him to do something. Jesus had mercy on them. Notice how they ask for mercy. They don't ask for cleansing. They don't ask for understanding. They don't ask for someone to come and counsel with them. They just say, "Master," and the cure to their malady is right there. They do not ask for a cure, but rather, "Have mercy on us." It is always enough to refer ourselves to the compassions of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Word of God says, "They fail not." Jesus had compassion on these men. And he did not say they would be cured, but to go and be inspected by the priest, which was required according to Hebrew law. Verse 14, when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they were going, they were cleansed. As they were on their way, they were being cleansed. Isn't that remarkable? I think it's absolutely stunning. And they arrive, obviously, the scribes and the Pharisees and the people in authority, they said, "How did this happen? We didn't sanction it. We didn't agree with it." He did not say that they would be cured, but to go and be inspected by the priest, a trial of their obedience. Always, if we are to be blessed, we must receive the blessing. His way is not our way. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And the ceremonial law was in force. And the Lord Jesus Christ saw that it was to be obeyed. Obeyed even though it was archaic, even though it was not of any value. He said, you go and do as you've been told in the scriptures, that the scriptures will lie not. You go and show yourself to the priest and say, look what's happened. Look what's happened. It's a remarkable thing when the Lord Jesus causes healing to happen. It's not a flippant thing that you see on maybe TV. It's not a thing that you throw around carelessly and thoughtlessly. This is something that is gracious and full of the beauty of God at work. Well, they raised their voices. They said in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have mercy. And I wonder today if we need to cry out in such a way. Their request is unanimous, and those who expect help from the Lord Jesus Christ must take him as Master, Master. Now, how do you look at Jesus? Do you see him as gentle Jesus, meek and mild? Do you see him as the agonizing person upon that crucifixion cross? Do you see him as risen from the dead? Do you understand that Jesus is alive and will be alive forever and forever? And the thing to do is to see why he conquered death. Who can conquer death? The surgeon cannot. The clever oncologist cannot. But God, when he gets to working his mercy, he cures a man. And the man is cured, and this man was cured of his leprosy. Important to notice that. And he called him Master. They do not ask for a cure to their malady, but have mercy on us. It is always enough to refresh our minds. The compassions of Jesus are there. Now, Jesus didn't say they would be cured, but to go and be inspected by this priest, a trial of their obedience. Always, if we are to be blessed, we must receive the blessing. Now, that may sound silly, because we've asked for a blessing, and here it is, and we've got this blessing in our hearts and minds, and we've got it so sealed in our hearts and minds, and we are cured of sin. What shackles you? What brings you down? What causes you to faint when you should be standing firm in the things of God? Why, it's a lack of obedience as a rule. And often we can't receive a blessing. We have to be able to receive. It's more blessed to give than receive. And we can't receive the love of God. I don't know why that is. God has said, if you come to me, I will cuddle you close. I will hold you. I will always be with you no matter what the circumstances are. Your heart may be breaking over this or that, but I will never leave you and I will never forsake you and I will never ignore you. I will come to you and I will bless you. Can you receive that blessing? Can you receive the peace of God that passes all understanding and that never fades away? Can you receive that? It's found in Jesus. Be still, says the word of God. Be still and know I am God. We flap our wings, we tear around, we drive our cars, we get into a great tiz-wazz about this, that, and the other. And Jesus says, shush, be still. I'm talking. Be still. I'm loving. Be still. I'm merciful. full of grace, full of glory, come to this Lord Jesus Christ, and you will find peace like a river flowing out of your soul. You will find peace, enormous peace, like the ocean depths, and it will never leave you. It will never go away. Now here's another thought that you might caress into your heart. Be prepared to receive the blessing. His way is not our way. Ceremonial law was in force and Jesus was not in that law. Jesus is in grace. That is, you deserve to be shunned and put outside the city. You deserve to suffer. You deserve to have an awful time in your life for the rest of your eternity. That's what you and I deserve. But God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that the grace of God could flood our hearts and minds, and we could be changed, and we could be healed, and we could become the one he loves and lives in, and we worship him always with all things. How are you doing? Are you receiving the blessing? We had a saying in our family when the children were growing up. I would say, do this, do that, like a sergeant major sometimes, and the children would scurry round and appear to do things. And then sometimes I would go to their room and say, well, you didn't do it. Why? Why didn't you do what you were told? You have missed a blessing. Being obedient to God, receiving his blessings, is a wonderful thing. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will delight himself in you. Humble your heart. Don't consider yourself as arrogant. Don't let anybody say that you're stuck up. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he who humbles the heart will fill the heart with glory and love. Oh, yes, those same children were so loved, and they still remark and chide me for saying, you'll miss the blessing. And if I ask a grandchild to do something and the grandchild doesn't do it, I heard one mother say, you'll miss the blessing. Do as you're told. And that child went off and did as he was told. Well, you don't want to miss God's blessings. They're there always. If we are to be blessed, we must receive his blessing. Now, the ceremonial law that was in effect was useless, totally useless. But if you come with a ready heart and a broken heart, you will find God very comforting and very close, and very, very near. Here's another thought. As they went, they were cleansed. Again in verse 14, if you look at Leviticus 14, verses 2 through 32, you can do what you can, and God will do what we cannot do. Cured. Cleansed. Oh, I love the words. Love the words. Cured. Cleansed. How much suffering, how much misery would be ours or be avoided by us if we knew how it was to receive God's blessing of being cured. But we run off to the doctor and we get some little white pills, little pink pills, little yellow pills, sometimes a black pill or a green pill, and we forget the gospel. The gospel is the one that you need. and it's dispensed by the Lord Jesus Christ, and is dispensed by him who loves you and gave himself for you. And the manufacture of the gospel was that he suffered for your sins, he died for your sins, he was buried for your sins, and he rose from the dead for your sins, so that you would have life eternal. Life eternal. If there was one pill we could take and it would rid us of all our discomfiture, wouldn't it be fantastic? Jesus takes away all the sin and all the wretchedness of our souls. Jesus enters into our experience and takes our experience and says, this burden is mine. Let me hold your burden. You may still go through all sorts of things, but there is always one that sticketh closer than a brother. His name is Jesus, and he holds us, and he helps us, and he lifts us. And Jesus puts a smile on the face of the man who is cleansed. Oh, what a joy. Oh, what blessings. And notice, please, these people were cured. If you do what you can, God will do what you cannot. And it's very important to see that, because he loves a broken and a contrite heart, and he enters into that experience with that person, and he breaks his heart to ignore them. So he never ignores you. He always is loving you. Now let me say to you this. One man returned. He was a foreigner. Verses 15 and 16. Now one of them, when they saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at the feet of Jesus, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. He was a foreigner. He came to Jesus, and he came to Jesus just as he was, without one plea, but that the blood of Jesus was shed for him. Oh, how beautiful this is, and how wonderful for you to understand. The author of the cure is none less than Jesus. And in verse 13, go back there, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They raised their voices, saying, and they shouted, Master, have mercy. Lord Jesus, have mercy. And he had mercy. How precious. How precious was the very thought of him bending from the heavens and just touching their bodies. What a remarkable thing this is. He didn't make any difference between the Jew or the Samaritan. In verse 16, he was worshipped by these men. They worshipped the Lord Jesus, and they fell down with their faces to the ground. This man fell on his face at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. How precious this is. I have been a foreigner from God. I have been wicked, and I have turned it from my wickedness and turned from my dislocation with God and been healed by God. And I've come to God through Jesus Christ the Lord. And there is none like Jesus. None. And I have to tell you this. When we do that, you'll fall down and worship him. You may be a foreigner. You may be cut off from the presence of God because of sin. But now you can come and with boldness approach the throne of grace. Then I would ask you to look at these verses 17 and 18, because these men forgot. Were there not 10 cleansed? Said Jesus, but where are the 9? Was not one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to the foreigner, stand up and go. Your faith has made you whole. So I have to say to you, do you have faith in Jesus? Have you put your faith in him? Have you put your despair at his feet? Have you placed yourself in the place where Jesus lifts you up and where Jesus gives you new life? Come unto me, said Jesus, and I will keep you, I will rest you, I will hold you, and all eternity shall be ours to share. What a great privilege all of this is, and what a great joy it is to come to Jesus and to thank him. I try to remember to thank him for yesterday, and I thank him for the beginnings of today, and I try to thank him during the day. And when I see his hand at work, I want to thank him, praise him, worship him, adore him, love him, love him, love him. I encourage you to do the same, and I encourage you to fall in love all over again with this wonderful, wonderful physician who can heal our stripes. By his stripes we are healed. By the whipping that he took, that's the healing for our sins. How precious is Jesus. Now let's pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, we have need to cry for mercy, and we do so today. We ask that you will have mercy on us. No matter what wickedness has entered our heart, no matter what frailty has entered into these bodies of ours, we still come to you and ask, Lord Jesus, have mercy. Put our feet back on the solid rock. Put a new song in our mouth. Help us to stand in Jesus. We pray these things in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Hey, hey. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.